Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to this special edition of the 4Scenes Fire American Soccer Show, the USA at Chile post-game show, as the United States, they fall to a final score of 3-2 down in South America as the United States starts off their 2015 campaign with a loss, unfortunately. But you know what? Outside of the scoreline, there were some positives in this game. Obviously, there were some negatives in this game that you probably didn't agree to. But once again, the situation is this, is that this is the USA's first game of the 2015 season of their calendar year. Majority of the players are not playing right now. They're in training camps right now with their Major League Soccer side. One or two players are coming over from either Mexico or from Europe, like DeAndre Yedlin, obviously. And DeAndre Yedlin looking pretty good so far in this matchup and everything else that's involved in this game. So while I understand the final score is not to your liking, truth of the matter is this, is that this game, to be honest, there is some good points to talk about. There's some bad points to talk about. And obviously, for the next 28 minutes or so, we are going 28 plus minutes or so, we're going to get down to the root of everything. Of course, I'm waiting for my special guest to come and join me to discuss this game. It's Patrick McDonald from the Red Bull Rant podcast, who's going to come over and join me and talk about what happened over down in Chile. If I can pronounce it correctly, Rancagua. I think I butchered it. I know I butchered it. But some good things, and we did see some bad in the United States in this matchup as well with the game. I have to say that at the moment, we saw Breccia, and of course, we missed the first 4 minutes of the match due to the technical difficulties for the signal, trying to get it from Chile, and thank goodness we were able to get the signal back, because when Breccia, my God, what a goal. I mean, I didn't expect that to happen. In fact, I thought the ball, actually, the shot was missed, but, when you see it rolling inside the grass area, inside the net, my goodness, that was a heck of a shot. That was great to see there. Fantastic to see. And for Breccia, obviously, it's really tough. Really, really tough when you have that tough angle there and you're not sure what's going to happen. And when the ball goes into the back of the net and you're like, yes, good for Breccia. Through all the problems that Breccia has had playing at Stoke or playing in England, we keep forgetting that he's still a solid player. The problem is, at times, when you're a youth player and, you know, you're going through all the, let's just say, you're going through all of the issues of being a young player, and I'm not saying you're misunderstood, but, you know, you're just not able to go out and listen or to do the things you're asked to do. And, of course, he's going to go in with the wrong crowd and he's going to get himself. That is the situation we have here. And as the situation we have with Breccia, he has the ability. It's not the question of ability. And this is what I keep saying to everyone. It's not the question ability of the effort and the ability. That of Breccia. Breccia, we all know what he can do. Breccia has the ability to go out and attack. Brett Shea has the ability to go out and create some wonderful chances. At the same time, he can put him away. And he can do it on the international level. The problem is that when he was over in England, the sad thing is, yes, his youthfulness got him into trouble with that stupid and cruel joke. But at the same time, got to prove to these teams, these clubs over there, that you know our guys who are offensive-minded can play at the same time. Because that's the situation we have here. That is the situation you have when you have a Breck Shea going forward and doing a job. So that's the situation that we have. That is the situation that we got to be getting ready for. And that's a situation that obviously needs to be fixed. So, once again, it's really common and simple here. Well, the common denominator is Breck Shea has the ability. It's what's upstairs that we have to worry about that we're, you know, that needs to be fixed. So, hopefully, this will be a fantastic start for Breck Shea. Being with Orlando City, he's going to get his minutes in. He's going to be a part of it. He's going to be really, really strong. And you know what? I think I really believe that for Breck Shea, he's got a future for the national team, but we'll have to wait and see. Joining me now from the Red Bull Rant, my good friend Patrick McDonald. Pat, how you doing and welcome.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Okay, so listen, our line is not what we were hoping for to start 2015, but I think you can agree with me that this was really an entertaining game, even though the result didn't go the way of the U.S.
It was certainly that. It was better than your average January friendly, without a doubt. I think that's one of the big benefits of having a lot of the U.S. national team players back in MLS is that they were available for this game. So, therefore, you know, at least the first half provided some good good entertainment for the U.S. fan, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was saying before about Breck Shea, he has the ability, obviously. It's more about what's upstairs that counts. And I think finally in this game, even though we kind of you could tell he started to fizzle out halfway through the second half, I think from the start of the match till he had a fantastic match.
Oh, sorry, but I broke up a little bit there. Was that last part?
And we No, I was just saying Breck Shea had a good match. Oh,
yeah.
Lose him again. Yep, there we go.
Oh, breaking up here.
Go ahead.
All right, you got me now? All right.
I got you good, man. You can go ahead. Oh, we're going to try it again. Let's see if we can get him back on here. Because we would love to get... love to get Pat's opinion on what's been going on with this game. Sometimes that happens on a live streaming show. We'll have the phone lines not working. So let's see if we can get Pat back on here. Pat, are you there? You hear me good, loud and clear?
I can hear you now. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, good. So I was saying before about Breck Shea.
Breck Shea, he's a good, you know, I think he has a great career ahead of him as a late-game sub where you can just press the go-run button on that guy and he can make something happen. I think that, you know, he certainly has that offensive ability, but it was on display time and time again tonight that the defensive two-way play is, I don't know if it'll be developed over the next couple of years, but it's not there now, that's for sure.
Yeah, I will agree with you there. I think he'll be better off when you have, like, these Gold Cup tournaments or the World Cup qualifying. He'll be better coming off the bench and giving a spark to the U.S. And, of course, obviously, when you're seeing DeAndre Yedlin on the far right side working well on the passing of the ball with Mix Diskerud, I think those guys on the right side in the midfield is also going to be very, very important to have those guys being of sound mind and good chemistry attacking with the ball.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Yedlin, you know, other than Raimondo, who I think, you know, kept us in the game a little longer than we probably should have been. Yedlin, he's another player that impressed me well. You know, he seems to get steadily better with each match, attacking up the right side. Again, the defense is lacking a little bit, especially late when he just appeared to be absolutely gassed. You know, but if we want to take one little caveat away from this game, I think there's definitely hope right there on the right side with Yedlin.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, Jozy Altidore finally got the opportunity to convert on that that great, great chance with Mix Discarude and DeAndre Yedlin. He finally converted. Obviously, he doesn't have a problem converting for the national team, but, you know, now he's going to be with Toronto, and I know how much people wanted him to be back here at the Red Bulls. But we're going to see him with Toronto this year, and hopefully he'll get get back his ability to be a dangerous player that he hasn't shown in England.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if – it's probably not fair at this point to say it was all on Sunderland that Jozy Altidore failed in the Premier League. But, you know, it doesn't compute that he can do this with the national team and not do it in England at all. I mean, it's not even that he was a subpar striker. It's that he was non-existent over in England. So, I mean, I think it's another good thing. And I, you know, despite the fact that I've seen some tweets saying, God, it's the product of an all-MLS team. This is what happens. I don't buy that for a second. I think, you know, Jozy coming back, MLS will only, at this point, enhance his game because he'll get constant playing time. He'll have that. Not that in a national team jersey his confidence has ever wavered, but his confidence will be forever up. And I think we can expect to see a lot of goals from him up in Toronto.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what we will see out of him this year. Jurgen Klinsmann, as I've always said, the United States national team is always going to be a bread-and-butter 4-4-2. Jurgen Klinsmann decided to change it up a little bit to start the match. They started in a 3-5-2 formation, adding an extra midfielder. I think, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but as much as I understand Jermaine Jones is in the back line now for Klinsmann for the national team, I don't think he fits in a three-man back line. He needs a center back partner in a 4-4-2. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Mm-hmm. How do you feel on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the I mean, you know, we've only gotten one taste of it, but I'm not a huge fan of the 3-5-2. I'm not a fan of Jermaine Jones on the back line at all, but, you know, Klinsmann gonna Klinsmann, and he's, you know, married to this guy, and I think he's trying to figure out a way to keep him around for 2018. I'm not sure if a pure center back partner with him would help him in a 4-4-2 or 3-5-2. He's always going to have he's always going to be somewhat of a liability, I think, in that role. You know, I'm a Jones guy, so this is tough for me to say, but, I don't think it's an experiment that's going to end anytime soon. I suppose there's no harm in trotting it out, in these friendlies, but, I do not feel comfortable about, Jermaine Jones being the center back of the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you're coming from there. We're going to have to wait and see what's going to happen with the next friendly when the U.S. is going to be playing Panama over at the StubHub Center in early February, the Sunday after the Super Bowl. But I think right now with the U.S., this is why you have these friendly games before you actually start getting into tournaments, confederational tournaments, mm-hmm. World Cup qualifying. I like to agree with you. I think if you are going to go and switch it up into a 3-5-2, I think they're going to have to get a center back who is a lot more younger and a lot more able to run around the middle of the field without having a partner with you. Because as you've probably seen it, depending if you have two center backs, it's always in a zone type of style of defense. Here you have the center back running all over the place, and he needs to really be that, I wouldn't say a quarterback, but being the guy that kind of barks out the orders to his fullbacks, because he's the only center back right there. And that's all that Raimondo had.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other issue with Jones in that position is I think you saw very often in this match his tendency to drift into a midfielder's mentality, taking risks that he didn't need to take. Or, there was that one point early in the match when he, I think, drove up to about the 18-yard line, and you're like, that's not where the center back should be. It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. And, Jones has been playing midfield his entire career. And, if they're going to stick with this 3-5-2, and right now I hope they don't, I 100% agree with you. Get someone young in there who can learn it now, learn it early, and absolutely can cover as much ground as possible.
You know, the some of the positives that we did talk about seeing in this 3-5-2 formation, seeing DeAndre Yedlin actually bossing the right side of the flank in the three of the five midfielders, he was able to boss that ball up and down the right side. I thought he looked solid. I thought he looked poised. And he made some fantastic tackles and some great defending to steal the ball away from the Chilean attackers. I think DeAndre Yedlin is ready for prime time.
Absolutely. I mean, he definitely bears watching in England right now with Tottenham. They have their own defensive troubles there. So hopefully we'll be seeing him sooner rather than later on Saturday mornings. But, again, like I said before, I think he's absolutely probably one of your brighter spots to come out of this match. That speed, just blazing down the right side and putting balls in, that is scary. I mean, it's something that, to a certain extent, we've been lacking ever since Steve Cherundolo ended his career, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. And we wouldn't even know who the next right back would be. But definitely, I would definitely give it to DeAndre Yedlin. Let's go. I thought Clint Dempsey had a decent match today. Nothing glaring as mistakes. He held the ball when he had to, made some good passes. I thought he did okay today. Once again, it's only the first game of the 2015 U.S. soccer season. I thought Dempsey had a decent match today.
Yeah, Dempsey was all right. I don't have too many complaints there. You just kind of have to wonder, much like Jones, how much longer is he going to be around? I mean, like anybody else, I hope forever. But we all know that's not possible. you have to always consider that it is that first friendly of the year. Most of these guys are in their off season, and when you consider that, yeah, Dempsey had a solid match.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. Let's go to the Chilean side of things. We always talk about Colombia with Falcao coming up, as well as James Rodriguez, the World Cup he had in Brazil. We always talk about Brazil. We always talk about Argentina. We rarely talk about Chile. I know we don't know what goes on in their regular club league seasons, but seeing what they did in the World Cup this past summer, and obviously none of their European players, we didn't see Alexis Sanchez in this friendly for Chile, but these kids coming up through the ranks, I mean, my God, I mean, Chile looks so talented, and it looks like they've got themselves a pretty good, I wouldn't say a golden circle generation, but you can see where Chile is starting to show their stripes.
Oh, I think that's, when Pitbull's your head coach, you're really going to shine there, that's for sure. I'm definitely not ready to declare that it's changing of the guard in South American soccer, but absolutely. The U.S. brought one of its strongest, as I said before, it's one of the strongest January camp teams into to play today, and they got, at least in the second half, manhandled by what could be described as a Chilean B team. So if that's what your B team looks like, absolutely. I think there's a lot to be, if you're a Chilean fan, if any Chilean fans listen to this show, you have a lot to look forward to, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. And, let's also give credit to Jurgen Klinsmann. I mean, this, you could probably say, I would say maybe A-minus, B-plus team that he brought out there. I mean, normally you'd get Camp Cupcake to be in U.S. national team jerseys just to see what you got, because most of these players would be over in Europe playing a European season, or at least the second half of it. And majority of the roster is now, these players are back at MLS. I have to tell you, how bold of a move is this by Klinsmann? Because obviously it looks like he's setting up for the national team all these great matchups from within CONCACAF, Europe, and South America, where I think he doesn't want to play around anymore. I think he's done with Camp Cupcake. He wants to go out there, and he wants to prove some points now.
Yeah, he never really seemed to buy into Camp Cupcake so much, you know. And, yeah, it does seem like he wants to get some results, but and I applaud that, but, you know, he's definitely, right now, it's not looking so good. I mean, we'll see what happens against Panama, but, you know, it is a smart, I mean, if this bears results, and obviously we all hope it does, it's a smart move, without a doubt. I mean, you got a really heavy, you know, slate of competitions coming up in the next 4 years between two Gold Cups, Copa America, and potentially Confederations Cup, all before you go to the World Cup, assuming we go to the World Cup. You know, so I think with that in mind, it absolutely makes sense for him to trot out as many of his first-teamers as possible. And I agree with you. He has to be commended for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the negativity about this match, unfortunately. You saw it just as much as I saw it. With a three-man back line, the fullbacks were exposed. Jermaine Jones looked lost, at times out of position, allowing the Chilean attackers to just slide in and get those chances, and they converted three times, obviously. The third one was more of a rebound shot that got deflected off of Birnbaum, but in reality, what we saw was this is a team right now, a new formation. Like I've said before, the 4-4-2 is the bread and butter of the U.S. national team, and I understand Jurgen Klinsmann wants to change things up, but you kind of saw the back line and even the defensive midfielders looking frazzled because they just couldn't at times handle the speed, and I'll say it, the quickness of some of the Chilean attackers to get themselves into position to create a chance.
Yeah, it was absolutely frustrating to watch. You know, I understand he Klinsmann's attempt with the 3-5-2 is to clog the midfield, but it didn't work. Part of that is, you know, you didn't have a natural. I mean, again, we talked about Shea, who's good going forward, but tracking back, he was just not, and he got butchered very regularly in that match. And when Yedlin seemed to run out of gas, he also started to get really. Taken advantage of on the right side as well towards the end of the match. I'm not a fan of the 3-5-2. I know you said you're a 4-4-2 guy. I love the 4-2-3-1 that they rolled through CONCACAF qualifying with. I never understood why they went away from that. I never understood why they pushed Michael Bradley up forward. Even though Bradley did not have the best game, I was at least happy to see him back in a more natural deep lying role. But the 3-5-2 experiment, I mean, like anything, it probably would take some time to work out all the kinks, but it's not the greatest. Didn't get the greatest.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there, Patrick, obviously. But as we keep on going here, we've got some time left. We're going to try and bring Patrick back on the show. Obviously, he's probably wondering why he's not hearing my voice right now, but that's okay. But as I agree with Patrick, I wouldn't mind going to it the 4-2-3-1. The Red Bulls used it last year from the middle of the season on to the end of their playoff run. And you know what? Why not the U.S. men's national team uses a 4-2-3-1? Why not? I think it would be a great idea. And we have Patrick McDonald back on. And I agree with you, Pat. I wouldn't mind seeing the USA going back to a 4-2-3-1 formation, and you have a lot of emphasis on the attack from the wings, giving a crossing balls to the lone striker, and then you have the two defensive midfielders helping out the back line.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it works so very, very well, again, like I said, in the World Cup qualifying, and then Klinsmann blew everything up right before the World Cup. Sure enough, I mean, hey, look, Steve Davis called the World Cup experience as an underwhelming success, and I think that's accurate because nobody expected him to get out of the group of death, but sure, it sure did look ugly. But, the tinkering, to me, it just doesn't make sense. I think Josie plays well up top. He finally started to master that role with somebody great underneath him like Clint Dempsey, Lee Wen, maybe that guy in the future, although he was not wonderful tonight. The tinkering, I don't get it. I don't get it.
That's okay. Look, sometimes you wonder why coaches do this for national teams, even for a club team. He's trying to get the best of his roster to throw out his ideas and see. I guess, as they say, you get the darts, or you throw it at whatever sticks to the wall and see if any ideas pop up or something like that. So, it's just one of those things where Klinsmann's just trying to he's just trying to see what works and sticks with it. And then we saw at the beginning of the second half, goes back to a 4-4-2. Lee Wynn comes in. Let me talk about Zardes. Even though he came in as a substitute, he looked active. He looked like he was trying to get into position. He had an opportunity to get a shot on goal. Unfortunately, didn't have enough power behind the shot. But we've seen what he's done with the Galaxy. Do you see him really being the future of the national team? Even though it's only been one match, and he came in as a substitute, but do you see why he can be a part of this national team for the future?
He certainly had an active match, and if you had to pick one young player, who got their first look, he absolutely looked the best. I would like to see more. Let's put it that way. There are others like Will Trapp where I'm like, okay, maybe you need another year of cooking. I wasn't that impressed. Bobby Wood had his probably worst game as a national teamer. So, I mean, if you want to look at the young guns, Zardes definitely had the best match, and considering what he's done with LA, he definitely bears watching, and I would like to see him maybe get a longer look against Panama.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to see him get a longer look, too. Obviously, being at home over at the StubHub Center, probably he'll feel a little more comfortable, but sooner or later he's going to have to be getting out of a comfort zone, because you can't do well all the time at home. You got to find a way to do well on the road, and especially if you're as the home team of the national team, whether it's at Red Bull Arena or maybe going back to RFK, or you're heading over to Sporting Park, or even over to BBVA Compass Stadium, Sardis is going to have to start playing a little more comfortable in a home arena that's not really the StubHub Center. Other than that, Nick Raimondo, I thought he had a very good game. I know that the back line was exposed and that made it the 1-1 goal for Chile. But I felt, outside of that stake, I thought Raimondo had a very good match.
Oh, absolutely. The match could have gotten way more out of hand if not for Nick Raimondo. There's no doubt about that. He's always been very sturdy coming in his spot start. And this one was absolutely no different. I at one point called it after that third goal. I was like, well, we're going to see four in no time. But Raimondo, he definitely did his part. Like you said, except for maybe like an early, hiccup here or there, absolutely solid in the back. The clear number three going forward, or actually number two now that you figure out with Howard taking his break. But the clear number two going forward with this team, without a doubt.
All right, Patrick, you have any final thoughts on this match?
Let's tinker one more time if you must, Jurgen. But I'd say go back to what works. And that's what was working during qualifying. Go back to that 4-2-3-1, get Jones out of the center back. And I think a couple of these young guys, they need to have another league season under them before they can really make something happen.
All right. Well, listen, thanks a lot for joining me tonight. Thanks for helping me out, and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot.
All right. Talk to you soon. Thanks for having me.
And that's Patrick McDonald from the Red Bull Rant. This is Daniel Feuerstein saying thank you very much for listening to this post-game show. USA goes down against Chile. They lose by a final of 3-2. Chile takes their first win of 2015. The USA gets their first loss of 2015. Talk to you guys next time on this coming Tuesday. Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. Thank you. Have a good night. Enjoy your football. Bye-bye.